64 degrees in downtown Denver. Good evening, Colorado. Thursday, November 2nd, 2023, the penultimate program. Hour number two begins now. One more hour to go. We're on until just before 7 o'clock tonight. Stephen Tubbs, Jim Nichols, Lori Kelman in the newsroom. Lori is going to stop by and visit for a few minutes coming up next hour after her 6 o'clock newscast. It is a pleasure. Thank you. Last hour is part of the yes. So you only have a couple more days to hear that if it's been annoying to you for 2.5 months. Peter Boyles was in to kick off the hour, got a special call on the farewell tour from, oh my God, somebody at another radio station. Oh my goodness. Mandy Connell, one of the all-time talents in Colorado, my longtime friend who just happens to do another show on Devil Radio. She called in, and then we wrapped up the hour with Frank DeAngelis, my longtime friend. And somebody just, in fact, texted this to the studio, quote, almost every time at church, I see Frank DeAngelis greeting people entering. He's the real deal. And he is. So thank you. One of the hard parts of the farewell tour is over, because believe it or not, it was Pete. I held it together. Pete's a jokester. He's a clown. So it was, you know, that's a good thing, because I owe being here to Peter Boyles, who, you know, after I'm let go over at KOA after 13, 14 years, Pete says, you got to talk to these guys. Pete also talked to management saying, you got to get this guy. So I've said over the years, if you like me on this radio station, you can thank Peter Boyles. If you don't, you can blame Peter Boyles. Coming up, we've got an in-studio guest as part of the farewell tour. How many times over the years have I mocked and thrown rotten tomatoes at and a whole bunch of other things, slammed via my voice, the local Denver media? But one of my longtime friends and somebody who still does quality, go figure, Denver and Decay Television has still a few people that actually do quality journalism. Go figure. One of those individuals, he'll join us coming up in studio in just a few moments. But first, we've got to, and he has just entered the building, so we'll get to him in just a moment. We've got to start off this hour. There's just no doubt about it. It is our penultimate program. It is time for the Turkey Awards. Granted, we usually do this around Thanksgiving. Wow, that's really big. That sounds like you'd hear on KMGH Channel 7 during the Academy Awards. Ladies and gentlemen, let's start. We've already given Turkey Awards to, if you're just joining us here, this guy. Tay Anderson is such an easy target. But how about, let's see who we start with. For like the sixth year in a row, without a doubt.
Ain't no party like a PJ party, because a PJ party don't stop. Ain't no party like a PJ party, because a PJ party don't stop.
The former mayor of Denver gets another Turkey Award as he now, where is he living now? Is he living in Florida? Whatever you do, do not get on a plane for Thanksgiving 2020. Or was it 2021? Denver, former Denver mayor Michael Hancock gets one. This guy, I tried. I tried so hard. He was kind enough on the campaign trail to spend an hour with us. I've dealt with him in a media capacity for 15 years or so during his political career. But Denver's new mayor, Mike.
I haven't done anything yet.
Johnston, without a doubt, gets a Turkey Award. In fact, I award his honor a Turkey Award right now because as we speak, he's probably having some kind of nice dinner in the greater Washington, D.C. area, as he, along with mayors from Houston and Los Angeles and Chicago and New York, are now crying about needing more federal help because of our unhoused friends known as migrants, or as I just call them, illegals. 200 to 250 additional, probably as the average has played out, have come into the Mile High City. And of course, I call the ultimate utter bullshit. When it comes to, the mayor says, everyone that he's talked with, or quote, nearly everyone, all they want is a job. So, Mayor Mike.
I haven't done anything yet.
You get a Turkey Award. All right. We're going to stop for a minute. He was not out there with us earlier today. We were trudging through. And then we had to be very quiet. Shh, we see one over there. This is going to be highly offensive. I think so offensive that I need a warning to you. Okay? This is your warning. Many of you will be offended by this, but we actually resumed our station annual turkey shoot today. There was a lot of firing going on. There was even a bazooka out there. Jim, you, what a dead eye. Holy, good Lord. That thing didn't make it. So the turkey shoot, we'll have more throughout. But I have to stop being an idiot and welcome in our guest. I have ripped on Denver and Decay Media for nearly 6 years on this program, save for a couple. But one of them is a guy that I so respect, and he's a friend, and he does excellent journalism in town. Wow. Please welcome. Hold on. Do I need this? Tony Kovaleski from Denver 7. Brother, thank you for coming in. My God, I told you you could do it on the phone.
Well, you know what? What an honor to be here. What a career you've had in Denver and beyond. I mean, I was thinking driving here. We met, I believe, Kobe Bryant. You were with CBS Radio,
ABC.
Coming in at ABC,
yep.
Out of LA.
Yep.
Yes, there we go.
Yep.
And we connected, we bonded, and then within a matter of time, you started at that, as you like to call it, the other radio station,
Devil Radio,
at KOA. And you know what a career! What you've been such a part of the radio fabric of our community that I said, you know what? We're not doing it on the phone. I'm coming to say goodbye in person.
Did you do TV in that suit today?
I you got to do what you got to do.
I actually wore a belt for you. No pants, but I wore a belt.
Yeah.
How do you get into this business?
You know, I think you have to have a passion.
I mean, you personally.
Me? I started in Eureka, California, market 181. Stefan, you know what I made per month at my first job?
Can I guess?
Go ahead.
Give me a year.
1983. It'll date me a little bit.
Dude, if you were making $700 a month, I'd be surprised.
You hit it on the button.
Really?
I got to anchor the 11 p.m. news, produce, report, shoot video, edit my own stories, and it started at $700 a month.
He's making a little bit more than that, friends, today. He's making about $700 an hour.
Here's a great story, right? 1984. I'm doing a story on the Reagan cheese block giveaway in Eureka, California, right? For those people that were financially in hard times. So I'm there. I give a report. So what do you have to do to qualify to get a block of cheese from President Reagan?
See where this is going.
And guess who qualified?
You.
But guess who was too proud to take a block of cheese?
Because
I was a reporter and an anchor, and I couldn't take a free block of cheese.
And where do you go from Eureka?
Reno, Phoenix, Houston, Denver, San Francisco, back to Denver, and couldn't be happier.
Tony Kovaleski is our guest. He is.
Let's talk about you. That's why we're here.
But you know, I wanted to have you on because I, as part of the farewell tour, I want to say thank you, as best I can, in the world's longest radio goodbye. I want to say thank you to the people that have been good to me, that have added to the. I mean, I have loved, and you have made the show better when you're on it. I've loved seeing a text from you or a social media post going and. I'm like, well, that's a great story. And the only time when I've asked you to come on this program to promote what's going on and what you're working on and people can watch it. But the only time that you haven't is when you've actually, I can't join you at 5:05 because I'm on set doing this story. But I mean, seriously, I wanted to say thank you.
Well, I respect you. I enjoy our friendship. And right now we're going to stop talking about me and talk about you because that's why I'm here. Okay. Here's one of many reasons why I respect you and I'm here. You are a journalist. This is not a gig for you. There are some radio people that it's a gig. And you've been out there reporting the biggest stories, asking the toughest questions. No matter what time of day, it might work with your show, it might not. I've seen you in court. I've seen you on major breaking news. I've seen you at inaugural events. And you're there with a reporting pad, asking questions, getting to the truth. And it's made a difference in our community. You work to make our community better. You break stories. You dive into stories. You expand stories. And this is about you today. You're wow. leaving big shoes in this radio studio to fill. I'm just happy to say you're a friend. And by the way, you'll like this.
Yes.
My girlfriend's a big Stephen Tubbs fan.
What is her name?
Her name is Catherine.
Catherine, thank you.
She might be listening. And she talks about when she took her son to school, he went to Colorado Academy. Every morning, you and April, it was like you were part of her family. She knows, I think, more about you than I do. And just a big, big fan.
Well,
but
thank you, Catherine.
Just talks to, you know, you've impacted a lot of people who are real dedicated viewers, listeners, and you've been so much a part. I just want to break the story. What's next? Can you let us know now?
Yeah. I mean, I've made no bones about it, you know, coming up, and I've probably, you know, told everybody here 100 times, brother, coming up Monday, when I wake up Monday morning, and I usually get up between 5 and 6:15.
You still can't get out of that habit of doing morning radio.
Right.
You've talked about that.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, I know what I'm going to do that day. I'm going to get into more routines. I want to clean, you know, some of my office area, blah, 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 those little things. But every minute that I wake – from when I wake up on Monday morning, every minute that I get closer to when I would come in here to this radio station and I'm not coming in anymore, I absolutely will not – lie. I mean, I haven't lied. I will miss it so much. And I'll miss the interaction. I'll miss the text to the studio. I'll miss the fact that I can talk about what pissed me off, you know, before the show and that day. And here's why, you know, maybe I don't want to have people out there try to, you don't need to feel the way I feel, but I want to give you stuff to think about. All of that I'm going to miss. However, I'm going to take the rest of November off. And right after Thanksgiving, my oldest son, my youngest son, kind of gets the shaft because he's still in school. But he's living the life as a junior at San Diego State University, and he's fine with his older brother and I. We're going to go to Europe after Thanksgiving, and we'll be there about 3 weeks. And then I'll come home right before Christmas. We'll do the holidays with the family, and then come January, it's the edit process. And you know how that is, Tony. Tony Kovaleski from Denver 7, one of the finest journalists this state has ever seen. And he's a friend, and he's a friend of this program, and he's given us so much over the years. I wanted to have him in, and it this should show you a lot. Where were you, at Taj Mahal?
I was out, yes.
So you're in Golden, and you battle through the Denver and Decay traffic, and you come here in studio. So I thank you so much. So in January, up until our May release, it's our next documentary film. It's called Devastated, Colorado's Fentanyl Disaster. I've traveled the state over the last 3.5-4 months. Went down to your old stomping grounds in Houston for a day to work with the Department of Public Safety down there, and seeing the fentanyl seizures and the drugs, and just amazing. We've traveled to Washington, D.C. But this, I can say with certainty, will be the most important thing that I've done in nearly 34 years.
I can't wait to watch it, because I know what this story has done, just impacting me. I talked last year to a father, could be you, could be me, two sons in college.
He's in the film. Matt Riviere.
Matt's incredible.
Isn't he?
And the pain that to be standing upright after getting a phone call, after finding out, you know, you're dealing with divorce, and then your two boys, like many college kids, take a couple
one
pills.
Pill.
They thought it was OxyContin, I believe.
One pill each.
And each took one, and it was laced with fentanyl. I still tell people that a good friend of mine, actually, you were talking about Eureka, my first job. His son just got a job in Aurora, and he lives in Oregon right now, called me. Same situation. Died from fentanyl, one pill, 24 years old. And then a good source of mine, a former Denver police officer, told me the story, and we drove down that road. He arrested one guy, 20,000 fentanyl pills.
20,000.
Right. A felon in possession of a weapon, arrested him. That individual got a PR bond, was back on the street within 24 hours. We followed through the courts. He never showed up for his future hearings. He's probably
Wait, Tony, you've got to be kidding me that there would be bad people out there signing a promise to return to court known as a personal recognizance bond, and they didn't show up.
Don't get me started. But here's the powerful part of this, and I can't wait to see your documentary. The powerful part, I asked the officer, because he risked his life. That you've got a felon in possession of a weapon, which means he could go back to prison, who may try to shoot this officer during this arrest, but didn't. I said, why do you do it? You know the guy's going to get a PR bond. He's going to be back out. And the payoff for me, he said, Tony, I took 20,000 fentanyl pills off the street. That was my paycheck.
Yeah.
Risked his life to maybe save some people.
Yeah.
So your documentary is, I mean, yeah, it is such an issue. And I'm sure you've talked to people that say they've never seen a drug like this.
Nothing.
That is so quickly addictive, so inexpensive, and, you know,
And the deaths are just collateral damage. You know, a lot of people still, I don't think, quite understand. You know, wait a minute, does it make business sense for the cartels operating in Denver and in Colorado? It doesn't make any business sense to kill your clientele. It's to your point, it's so addictive, and not everyone is dying. A lot of people are every single day here in Colorado, certainly in this country. We're going to hit probably closer to 100,000 overdose point. They're not overdoses, just poisonings. That number, once we tally up 2023's numbers, it's going to be closer to 100,000 Americans who were poisoned to death, and many of them it was one pill. But the point about killing off your clientele, for every one death, there's exponentially more that can't. We talked with a drug dealer a couple of weeks ago. He said one of my best customers. We did him in silhouette, which you've done probably 1,000 times as a documentary filmmaker. My first time with a drug dealer. He wasn't a Denver guy. He wasn't a Denver, you know, down there in the ballpark neighborhood on a late Saturday night selling drugs from a street corner. This guy's area of operation in Colorado, Northwest Colorado, to include Steamboat, Rifle, Craig, Grand Junction. It's everywhere in this state. But just to wrap up on the addictiveness of this, if somebody dies, but you got 10 other people that are going to buy it, you know, great. This drug dealer says to me, one of his best customers, she was taking 20 to 30 pills a day.
And maybe that costs, what, $80?
Not much anymore.
Right. I've heard $2-3 a pill on the street. So
And it may cost $2-4
Yeah.
So that's pretty good return on investment if you're into that, you know, murder game.
And then you talk about the impact it has, okay? I shop at Home Depot like everybody else, right? I talk to people, and there are so many stores right now dealing with the fact that people know you can walk in and walk out with items and they're not going to do anything. And you take your box store of choice, and it's happening to everybody, and we're all paying that because it's their cost of doing business. And so to support these habits, the impact on our community.
The ripple effect, right?
Yeah. It's beyond the death toll, horrible, but the other impacts of how it's changing all of our lives. I can't wait to see your documentary.
Tony Kovaleski, we'll take a quick time out. He's with us for one more segment. And before we do, Jim, we've got there's just not going to be enough time in this show to get all of these awards out. So let's cue up the band, please. All right. The next slew of awards, the Turkey Awards 2023. I just got to clump them all together. Ladies and gentlemen, from the city of Aurora, the following folks. Yes, Comrade Marcano. Comrade Marcano gets perhaps the shiniest, biggest, brightest turkey award that I could possibly give. Kind of a close second would be his compadre there, his fellow traveler to France, Crystal Murillo. She had a burrito and a chimichanga for lunch today. Allison Coombs, you also from the city of Aurora, get one. And I'm sorry to say this, but I'm not sorry. I mean, after today, one more show. Former Congressman Aurora Mayor Mike Kaufman, you also get a turkey award. Think about it. He deserves it. We'll take a break. More with Tony Kovaleski as we stroll down memory lane. And I want to, on the other side, I want to ask Tony, how close you come to getting punched in the face, shot, shanked, stabbed, whatever it is, on an investigative story? And was it worth it in the end? We'll have that next as the farewell tour continues on 710 KNUS. Midway through the 5 o'clock hour, DJ Jim at the controls. More of Lori's news coming up. Lori will join us actually about, 6:10, 6:15 as this, the penultimate edition program of the Steph and Tubbs Show. We continue one more segment with one of Colorado's best journalists, at least in the parts of 4 decades that I've lived here. He's a friend. So, yeah, I'm a fan. But he also does some. What are they going to do, Tony? Fire me. Kick-ass stories. Tony Kovaleski, what is your official? Are you known as, like, at one time in my KOA career, I was known as the investigator. But you, my friend, are an investigative reporter.
You know, it's a
what's
title.
On your,
and
what's
by the
on
way, that, I think that title's redundant because aren't all reporters investigative reporters?
You know, the good ones.
I would agree.
There are many not good ones in Denver. You are on my Mount Rushmore. Can I ask you a couple of stroll down memory lane in your career?
You
questions?
Can ask anything, but we're here to talk about you.
No, we're here to talk about you. I want to say thank you because Tony has, over the years, you know, every time I have him, a friend of the program, Tony has shared with us some of his hard investigative television work and made this radio program better. So I do want to know what is. You don't do what you do without getting doors slammed in your face, most certainly mean maybe texts, emails. Have you ever come into how many hairy situations jump into your mind?
You know, not as many as you would think.
I don't believe you.
Because when you have a camera with you, it creates a lot of buffer because – they know whatever they're doing is right there.
True.
We've been put in the Bay Area. My photographer got pushed. There were guys around people. There was that confrontation at Pebble Beach a few years ago where a executive got very unhappy that we followed a boondoggle to Pebble Beach and wasn't pleased that our team was there. But you know what?
Did they shank the shot from the tee box?
No, but they were clearly unhappy and the video showed it. But they, you know, in most cases they recognize they may not answer and that's okay. But you know, even recently we did an interview like that with Governor Polis over a mental health hospital and his Department of Public Health and potentially foreshadowing supposed unexpected or surprised inspections. So, you know, it's not the first tool I'd like to use. If you're in a position of power and you say you're not going to answer our questions, I just let them know that it's really not an option. We can do it as professionals in an office.
Or I'm going to kick your ass.
Or I'm going to meet you somewhere in public. I don't
no,
say that.
I know
Come
you
on.
Don't. See, that's why you are you and I am on
And
talk
story
radio.
Has to be at a certain level. It's not every story.
Is there – I know these stories have existed and you've done them around the country in many different media markets, but the one where you just go, got him. Whether it's corruption or wasting taxpayer dollars.
The story I think that I'm most proud of, Stefan, happened back in 2008, 2009. 38-year-old Mark Elgin was on a plane at DIA. He had a pulmonary embolism. They took him to gate B2. At that time there were paramedics at the airport, but no ambulances. And Mark, a father of two, didn't survive. A paramedic there saw it happen, knew a source of mine. We had a cup of coffee. Long story short, because his wife had the courage to step forward and give us an interview, now there are ambulances at the airport every day. People's
wow.
lives are saved because a paramedic had the courage to say this shouldn't happen because it took 33 minutes for one ambulance to get to the airport. Mark didn't make it to the hospital alive. And his wife and that paramedic basically said, this can't continue. At that time, Denver Health kicked off these blue ribbon panels to look at it. 5 months passed. You might have covered Continental Flight 1404.
Yes, sir.
It crashed on the 20th of December.
Yes, sir.
Well, we wanted to find out how long it took an ambulance to get to that plane crash, right? On that Monday, we sent an open records request, and ironically, it took 33 minutes for one ambulance to get to a plane crash of 115 people 5 months after Mark Elgin died, and it was also 33 minutes.
Wow.
At that time, John Hickenlooper was the mayor. We did a half-hour story on everything we put together, and he had no option. So now there are ambulances out there. People's lives are saved every mm-hmm. day. And not every day, but every month. And they have no idea. It's a paramedic, a widow, and journalism that changed it.
It makes it.
So that's makes the it biggest worth
it.
Payoff.
Yeah. No, it absolutely is. Tony Kovaleski, one of the best. You know, you jogged a little bit of a memory. It was probably DIA opens in
95.
Within the first 2 years, I remember there was a tornado out there, and we did an open records request. This is when I was doing more reporting at KOA, and we found out that there was no warning system for tornadoes. You had, I mean, at any given time, clearly you can have thousands of people on each concourse, and we did some pretty good reporting on that for, I want to say, probably a good month or two. As you know, you get more information. As you know, more people want to talk.
You're the reason those signs are out there?
Wow. Honestly, one of the reasons. DIA may say, nah, but I know it was our reporting in 96, 97 that led to tornado shelters at DIA. I don't say that to get my own turkey award. I'm kind of commiserating with you because that's what makes what we do really worth it.
So let me turn let me play host now.
Please.
When you look back on this career, which stories jump out to you that had the most impact? What interviews are the most memorable?
I got the trifecta of stories.
Go.
Oklahoma City.
I'm host. You get the answer questions.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me, Mr. K. What would your on-air name be?
The Tony Kovaleski Show. I'll just
right?
take over.
I had actually a quick sidebar. Somebody says, well, what's your real name? I'm like, are you kidding me? Stephen Tubbs? I don't think anybody would just pick that. That is not my air name. That is my on my birth certificate. So the trifecta, Oklahoma City, Columbine, 9/11. Easy. It's easy. And, you know, I've tried to say over the last couple of months is I have so much respect for this career and the people that I've been able to meet that what you and I do for a living, you know, what builds our resumes for you, you know, maybe, you know, your demo reel for me, my demo tape is on the backs of people's worst moments of their lives. And, you know, I have always tried to have that be first and foremost. I've said this a lot, tried to give it off to my children as well, who are wanting to be in this business. And that is you must be a human being first and then the best damn journalist you can be second. And I have found, Tony, that that's worked for me.
I couldn't agree more. And you can hear that in everything you do. Which I think is part of the foundation of our friendship. You're curious, but you're real. 9/11, we drove from Denver for 26 straight hours. We left about a half hour after the second plane went into the second tower. And just looking back on that and your memories, I mean, I remember, you know, wondering what's going to – are we going to be able to get gas? Will there be a place
– are we going to get attacked
again? Are there other
again?
Attacks coming? When we were in New York City and the F-16s came flying overhead and President Bush was on the pile of rubble, and I remember looking to my photographer and I go, you know, we see that happen at sporting events all the time. But that was just real. That was a flyover because they were concerned there could be another attack. It was 2 weeks of my life that I will never forget.
Yeah. Tony Kovaleski from Denver 7. He is kind enough to be with us here as part of the farewell tour. You know, I want to kind of end on.
I got another question.
Sorry, you're the host.
Your favorite interview or your favorite two interviews or your favorite moment that unraveled on radio?
I'll start with the unraveling of radio. It actually happened on this station in 2019, the bomb cyclone. The bomb cyclone, many of you listening, you know the story of Katie Potter. This woman, Tony, never listened to AM radio. Didn't know who Stephen Tubbs was, from Tony Kovaleski to Jim Nichols to anybody. She had never heard of this little 5,000-watt directional signal, 710 KNUS. She's stranded with her family somewhere off of I-25 near Monument. And she calls the studio and, you know, I mean, clearly part of my job is to remind you of the phone number, 303-696-1971. She called because she had about half of her cell phone battery left and she didn't want to charge it because they were afraid they were going to run out of battery with the vehicle and it's freezing and it's a bomb cyclone. And so we just so happened to have CDOT, and I've got some connections with the National Guard, and this little radio station, the little engine that could, assisted in her family getting rescued. That was the happy part. Then last year, through a personal Facebook message, she reaches out. I'm like, I know this name. She says, hey, I don't know if you remember me. I'm the lady who was stranded with my family in that car near Monument, the bomb cyclone. And I'm like,
memory clicks right away.
Boom. Yeah. Of course. And she said, I just wanted to let you know that one of my children, my daughter, died last year.
Wow.
Of a fentanyl poisoning. So bringing it all full circle, we go, and earlier this summer we met them at a family gathering, and they're part of our documentary film Devastated. And, you know, this is yet another family that had never heard of fentanyl. It turned out that it was the chocolate chip cookie example of her daughter's this is right around the time of one of the kids in the family. They were graduating from high school. The daughter was having some trouble sleeping. Her boyfriend gives her a pill. They split it. And the chocolate chip cookie analogy is, I've got a chocolate chip cookie. You may get 17 chocolate chips. I get 3. I'm surviving. You're not. And to bring that whole story full circle, that was probably, off the top of my head, the most impactful story, was to help somebody. But then you rarely get in the business part two, right? As far as interviews go, I would say there are two, and they're both musically connected. Probably my all-time favorite interview was with Lindsey Buckingham from Fleetwood Mac. The guy gave me 45 minutes to an hour. Huge Fleetwood Mac fan. I know a lot of their music. I know a lot of the band's history. I ended up interviewing Mick Fleetwood, Stevie Nicks, Lindsey Buckingham, and over different types of times in my career.
We saw Stevie Nicks and Billy Joel in Kansas City a couple months back.
Good.
Incredible.
Oh, but I love
keep
them both.
Going.
Yeah. So Lindsey Buckingham was just amazing. And when, you know, you're in awe of somebody, but then they're actually nice. Wow.
Real.
I remember telling him, I'm like, who the hell am I? But I said, you know, Lindsey, if I can call you Lindsey, I've always been a huge fan of your album, Tango in the Night, and I just don't think that ever got enough critical acclaim. And he like pauses and he starts to laugh and he says, you know, I really appreciate that. He said, I fully agree with you. I don't think anybody really did appreciate that. Another one, and we were just talking about it, and I think it's actually apropos, if I may use a little bit of sound here, I think it's apropos for this. A new Beatles song today called Now and Then. And one of my most memorable interviews was with Yoko Ono.
Wow.
It was via the telephone.
She was very interesting. I never interviewed her, but I watched a lot of her interviews.
And, you know, I think I've shared this story within the last couple of months, but I said, you know, I don't know if I called her Yoko or Ms. Ono or whatever, but I said, I think this was at the very beginning of the interview. I said, please know that I know, that you know that I know. There is not a question that I could ask you that you have not been asked before. But I said, from the heart, I want to know some stuff. Half an hour later, I remember I asked her, my dad always said as a kid, Yoko Ono was the one that broke up the Beatles. I think coming at it from more of a, I was a little boy, my dad told me this, she gave me a different kind of answer. And then, Tony, it sounds so crazy, cliche, why would she give me a great answer? But it was, I said, before we go, I just want to know one more thing. She's like, oh, of course, of course. How often do you think of John?
Wow.
Silence.
You probably got emotional.
Crying. And said, every day. And she said, I was just thinking about him this morning. I'll never forget that.
Wow. And how did she answer the breaking up of the Beatles question?
Oh, people say I broke up the Beatles. I did not break up the Beatles. And I'm thinking to myself, that's not what my dad said.
That's
you want to do one more segment? Let's do it.
I've got all the time you need.
Well, we don't. Unfortunately, Tony Kovaleski, one more segment with him. Turkey Award. We got to do one more Turkey Award, Jim. Okay, here we go. Turkey Award goes to a guy that's really nice, but, I mean, an ultimate, to me, Denver in Decay, turkey politician, without a doubt, Kwame Spearman. I wish him the best of luck in his race for the Denver Public Schools Board of Education, but the fact that Kwame Spearman knew he was dropping out of the mayor's race, knew he was going to call Kelly Bruff and endorse her, when he was at that when he was at the St. Patrick's Day parade, shaking hands, kissing babies, and he knew he was dropping out, and he was still taking contributions. Come on, man, that's a turkey award. And next hour, I'm going to get into more of the Colorado Six. Elizabeth Epps gets a big one. And how about one more story? Here's the one of the top ones. Turkey Award goes to, and they're my good friends, at least they were, at the Denver Museum of Nature and Science earlier this year, total bullshit, deciding to close and remodel the dioramas. Really? That's a Turkey Award. We're back with Tony to wrap it up next. It's Kovaleski's theme song here.
Nice.
Welcome back.
You're not hosting anymore.
Oh, yeah. This is you. You got to come back from the break.
I get to ask the question. Welcome back to the Stephen Tubbs Show. Tony Kovaleski sitting in. Proud to bring it's an interview we've wanted for a long time.
Sure.
Stephen Tubbs with us right now to talk about his career. He's got a day left in the big seat, and we have more questions. Like, do you remember your first big interview?
Thank you so much for asking, Tony. I do. I was in college.
That's all I want to know. I don't want to know anymore. No, please tell us more.
You're funny. Bob Hope.
Wow.
Bob Hope.
The Bob Hope.
The Bob Hope. The USO Bob Hope. The on the road Bob Hope. On the radio Bob Hope collegiate specials. Remember those back in the day when we were kids? I mean to tell you, an hour with Bob Hope. And at the end, he says... and it was the worst interview I could have ever done. I didn't shut my mic off. So I'm realizing, like, you know, 5 minutes in, I've got Bob Hope. So everything he's taught, I'm like, uh-huh, 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 yeah, oh my gosh, yeah, oh my gosh. And he could not have been more gracious. He was doing his final tour of college campuses.
Wow.
And I had always been a huge Bob Hope fan. What he did
He gave you an hour.
An hour. And at the end, he says, hey, it was good talking to you. And I'm like, thank you, sir. But can I tell you a real quick sidebar? When I was then later...
I'm hosting it. Go ahead.
Several years after, I'm working for ABC News Radio. And we killed Bob Hope as a network prematurely. And I had kept in touch with the publicist for Bob Hope. And when there was I want to say it was a congressman or senator from the state of Arizona who on the floor of the U.S. House says, "And we lost a patriot today, the legendary Bob Hope." Well, we figured, this is, thank God, this was the New York guys. I was in L.A. This was the New York executives going, we've got to have a special report. We announced the death as a network, going to hundreds of stations that Bob Hope is dead. Bob Hope's publicist gets in touch with ABC and says, listen, Bob definitely appreciates the attention, but he wanted you all to know that he was eating breakfast in his Toluca Lake kitchen at the time of his death.
No.
And let's just say we had to retract that as a network. And that was, but that was Bob Hope. Amazing.
And you were happy it was the network and not you.
Not me.
Wow.
Tubbs didn't kill him. Tubbs loved that. I'm a huge Lucille Ball fan. Love the reruns of I Love Lucy. We must have talked for 20 minutes about his relationship with Lucille Ball. And how
what a talent, both of them, right?
Yeah. I mean, legends.
Back in the glory days of TV. Which,
not anymore, yeah. Kovaleski. Yeah. Not anymore. Yeah. Can I take over now?
Yeah, it's your show. You can do whatever you want.
What are you working on right now, brother? That you can share.
There's a lot on our plate right now. We're taking a look at, I think, an important issue, which is a mental health hospital north of Denver that we continue to ask questions about what happened and why. It's the same address that after 20 months of reporting, we shut down that facility because people trusted us, not we, not me, but patients, family members, employees. It got a new name. It's the same address. A lot of the same things are going on, and we're continuing to pressure state agencies about what's happening. My producer just met with another patient and her husband today, and the stories are, people being held against their will, being forced to sign, not getting care. And we all know the mental health crisis. So it's a story we're proud of as a team because people are trusting us. This couple reached out to us because they Googled the site after they got out. They saw the problems. They've seen our reporting. And
is that going to come out later this month, you think?
It is.
You still have November sweeps?
One of many things we're working on.
You guys
right
still
now.
Do November sweeps? Is that a thing anymore?
You know what? Sweeps are kind of
every
day
is a sweep.
1990s calling for their sweeps back. But every night and every month is important.
Brother, what a treat! Thank you for at least a little bit. I was a radio hog. I didn't let you host long enough, but I just thank you for your years of friendship. I thank you for. It means the world to me that you would come in studio. I'm so glad you did. I'm so appreciative. I thank you for the quality journalism that you continue to churn out. Gosh dang it, I forgot to ask you. What is it like to see your daughter succeed in this business? We only got about 30 seconds.
The greatest legacy is our kids. And,
amen.
And she, Harvey Steinberg, the attorney, when I got back to Denver, we were on a street corner, he goes, Kovaleski, your daughter's better than you. And I said, Harvey, say more. That's the best compliment I could ever get.
Right.
So, very, very proud. But if you only give me 30 seconds, it's not about me. Gosh darn it. Thank you. Thank you for what you did for Colorado, for Denver. You've made our community better. And you will be missed, my friend. Our friendship is going to continue.
Yes.
And I wish you the best in that next chapter.
Thank you. Love you, man. Tony Kovaleski from Denver 7. Turkey Shoot, Turkey Awards, they continue coming up next. Stay with us.